overtaking in crazy places, a point for the home hero, a close fight for the podium, and a return to the top for Red Bull. Suzuka was stunning.
Max Verstappen returns to victory. Max Verstappen wins the Japanese Grand Prix, punches the air in delight, and after the defeat in Melbourne, it's the top step once again, and it's a Red Bull 1-2, thanks to Sergio Perez, who takes his third, second place of the season.
Welcome everyone to the Suzuka Paddock. It's F1 Nation's review of the Japanese Grand Prix with me, Tom Clarkson, nine-time Le Mans winner Tom Christensen, and F1 TV commentator whose dulcets are back on the show for the first time since 2020, Alex Jakes. Guys, first reactions, Tom.
A lot of adrenaline. This place, first of all, Japanese fans, the whole scene, the setting, local hero doing well in a Honda powered car. A lot of things was really, really splendid, and I'm still kind of full of adrenaline. All right, it would be nice to have a fight at the very top, but on the other hand, you have to applaud. What a great race again from Max Verstappen. I mean, he is on another planet. He frustrates the whole paddock, and this intensity of the people working hard, talking about obviously the updates, talking about correlation, talking about doing everything they can, trying to catch up. It's tough, but Max is just a little bit on a higher level than anyone yet again.
Number one, lovely to be back on this podcast. I don't know if it's something I said, TC. I've not been back on since 2020, so clearly not the best review of my work from that first year. Great to be on, and I agree with everything that Tom said. It's hard to convey how wonderful this venue and these fans are. There's a sense of occasion every time we come. I'm so pleased that we got a great race, and that there was overtaking, as you said in the intro, in bizarre places that I can't remember seeing moves. It was great stuff.
Yeah, but local heroes know that place. And
yes,
having been racing in Japan for many years, I mean, many years ago, but that's the thing about the good old school circuit like Suzuka. Yeah, it's off bank, anti bank, or Kirk bank, as the Japanese call it, turn six, which just sets you up into turn seven. And to see the start of that with Yuki Tsunoda doing that on Gasly, I believe, the first time he did it on Hülkenberg later. Ah, these things are fantastic.
It's majestic. But look, let's kick things off by hearing from the Red Bull duo who secured the team's 31st 1-2 finish, starting with the winner, Max Verstappen.
Very, very good win. It took a few laps to settle in a bit with the car, but I think we did make some good changes to the car before going into qualifying. That helped me then to feel even more comfortable. And yeah, whenever I needed to go faster, I could. Whenever I needed to look after my tires, I could. So that's always a very nice feeling to have once you're driving. And it's nice, of course, to win here in Japan. It's always an important race for us. You know, the fans, of course, we have a lot of support here, and it's great to win here in front of Honda and basically have three cars in the points as well. So, of course, Melbourne felt like a bit of a, let's say, a hiccup. But what we did today, that's what we want to do, and that's what we aim to do every single weekend.
Can we talk about some of the setup choices you made? Because at one point, your engineer, Giampiero Lambiassi, came on the radio and said, I don't want to say I told you so. What was that all about?
We had not an argument, but he was like, are you sure you want to do this? I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Turned out to be wrong. So he was right. But in a way, it also fires me up because I'm like, okay, well, even I'm not entirely happy with the balance now. I'll still, you know, try to be as consistent as I can be without shouting back at him. You know, but we have a great relationship, and it works well like that.
All right. Very well done to you. Max, thank you very much. Checo, let's come to you now. Your third second place in four races. Just how satisfying is it for you to have such a clean weekend here at Suzuka?
Yeah, it started really well. And today we had a good start. Unfortunately, I think we got caught out with the increase of temperature. The balance, we just couldn't get on top of on that first stint, which meant that the degradation was a little bit higher. And with Lando going on having two sets of hards, it just compromised a little bit our race more than I wanted to. But I think already on the second stint, things were a lot back into control. We were able to get a better read to the balance, and I think by the time we got to the third stint, things were a lot better.
What is it about you and 130R? You pass both Mercedes at the apex of the fastest corner on the lap.
Yeah, it just turned out to happen both at the same time. You know, spending time around one of the slowest cars, given the degradation they were having, it was quite penalizing. So I was just going for it, and it turned to be it happened at the 130R both times.
Nerve-wracking?
No, it's good fun. It's good fun to go around there with two cars.
Jakesy, that was a big statement from Verstappen. I felt after his DNF in Australia in particular.
Yeah, you knew he was going to respond. As soon as he pulled away on that second start and pulled out of DRS, it was over. And I said that at the end of the broadcast. And Jolyon Palmer responded, listen, when he turned up on Thursday, it was over. He loves this place. He raises his level. And that was another devastating drive.
Look, okay, it's a driver's circuit. So were we a little bit surprised to see Checo Perez be quite so close to him this weekend?
I think because of the recent history, we were. But it feels like he has an understanding of this year's car that is a million miles away from last year. He's not getting lost setup-wise in the same way that he was on a Friday. And he looks like the driver that we saw in 2021, 2022, rather than the guy who was struggling to make Q3 at occasions last year.
Do you think he's putting less pressure on himself? Does he almost understand his job, his position in the team better this year than he did last year?
Well, I want to ask this question to Tom. Has he recalibrated trying to bridge the gap to Max? And he's gone, I'm going to look after my own weekend. And looking after your own weekend is a totally different thing than trying to bridge the gap to one of the all-time greats in Formula One.
He must have, and there's no doubt that that's what we are seeing. I mean, looking back a year ago, he was talking about winning the World Championship after brilliant performances like the win in Saudi Arabia and so forth, like Baku. But there's no doubt that when Max is having a day off, which Checo tends to have
Can I interrupt you? But when did he last have a day off?
That's what I say. Oh. Yeah, maybe yesterday in qualifying, because he was less than a tenth ahead of Checo Perez. But then that's a bad day for Verstappen, only being on pole with a little bit less than a tenth. That's reality. I'm sorry. He is really strong. But I have to say, Checo, yeah, it's brilliant to deal with that in the same team, and he's doing that very good. So I think you are spot on in the way of he's recalibrated.
TK, 130R. Perez overtook both Mercedes drivers at the apex of the fastest corner in, well, is it in Formula One? It's got to be one of the fastest, certainly at this racetrack.
Yeah, there was no doubt. This was some of the key and great moments of crossing on the inside and not lifting. There's no doubt that he showed good courage, a little bit hesitant in the beginning, but then he knew he had to bite, and he did bite. So yeah, hats off, and it deserves second place. It's just there was no fear of being at anything better.
TK, you raced over here for 4 years. Just describe how intimidating 130R is, all right? Okay, you're in a faster Red Bull, I get that, but you know, Hamilton and Russell are not easy passes. What's going through his mind on that run up to the corner?
Today it's easy flat in Formula One. It used not to be, but still it is a major thing. But the whole circuit, there's other corners which I would say are more demanding, but still there's no doubt that that is a mind game going on, because you have a split second in decision to say if I rather lift or I stay flat, and whoever gives, it's you always very close to the fastest crash in the world. So in that sense, it's got to take some good control, mental control, but at the same time some wild adrenaline and push to make it be able to do these passes on Lewis Hamilton, George Russell, and the same. There was also good fights with the McLaren and Ferraris, but mainly into turn one, where they obviously had the DRS, which is only at one place here in Suzuka, and that's why it's not so powerful, the DRS here in Suzuka, like in other places.
Jakesy, do you think Perez can take it to Max Verstappen, the 2024 spec version?
I think the entire field are struggling to take it to Max Verstappen, the 2024 spec. I think he has turned a page by focusing on his weekend. I think if he goes back to looking across the garage, I think the moves were set up, the desperation, the feeling the need to perform immediately in FP1 and make statements in FP2 with the quali runs. I don't think he's doing that. I think if he focuses on himself, it'll be fine. And also, to be blunt, there's no greater motivator in Formula One than the potential of losing your job. And look at the drivers who are banging them for. We're going to talk about them later on. But all of the drivers, all of the drivers who are in form at the moment or have taken a step forward compared to last year have been shown the door or are at threat of being shown the door.
Give us a list. Go on, TK.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just that a silly season is always in Suzuka. There's just this difference that Suzuka is not in October. It's now in April. So, of course, it's opened all up by Lewis Hamilton a couple of months ago. But there's no doubt, like Dr. Marco, Helmut Marco said, Checo Perez, it seems like he found the pace, but maybe he's also looking for a new contract. He puts it right, quite bluntly. And having somebody from internal in the team saying that, that can turn both ways. But at the moment, it turns pretty well for Checo.
See, I want to explore this. Okay, so Perez has got a new contract. He's negotiating a new contract. He's in form. You're now going to tell me that the reason Russell is going so well is... No, he's got a contract for next year. So why do you think he's going so well? Or have we got a demotivated Lewis Hamilton in the next door car?
Well, I just think overall, Carlos Sainz is in the form of his life, reacting to being shown the door. Yuki Tsunoda, for some reason, they've told him... I think he actually started the season under pressure, Yuki Tsunoda, driving angry in Bahrain. And there are a few rumours in this paddock that he had to perform at the start of the year. Otherwise, Liam Lawson is in every cutaway that we see. Any time an RB driver makes a mistake, we're like, crash zoom into Lawson every time. So that's very subtle threat. Yuki's responded brilliantly to that. And Yuki didn't expect to be 4-0 up against Danny Ric in quali. I think
Valtteri Bottas is going well in the Sauber as well, isn't it?
Nothing like a bit of motivation to turn the page, and that's what's happened to Checo, I think.
There's more from the Suzuka paddock in just a moment, but first, here's a quick message from our friends at Factor. If you want to spend more time outdoors this spring, hitting your goals and less time in the kitchen, then Factor's fresh, never frozen meals could be exactly what you need. All of their ready-to-eat meals are chef-crafted and dietitian-approved, and the best part is, they're ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu filled with 35 delicious options, including Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or vegan and veggie meals. And if you're after something with a bit of a kick, make sure you don't skip the jalapeno cheddar lime chicken with cauliflower rice. The chicken in that dish was cooked perfectly, and altogether it was a flavour bomb. Chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with no prep and no mess to clean up afterwards. Who can resist that? You can even choose from more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages to help you stay fueled up and feel good all day long. Tailor your Factor delivery to fit your schedule, customize your weekly meals and pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Make it work for you. So head to factormeals.com/nation50 and use the code NATION50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code NATION50 at factormeals.com/NATION50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Last week's race winner, Carlos Sainz, crosses the line to finish in third place every race he started this year. He's finished on the podium.
Good job. I thought we might have got it wrong there for a minute, but good comeback. Good job.
Carlos, if we could come to you now. Very well done to you as well. Max spoke yesterday about Ferrari's long run pace looking very good. Just how confident were you coming into the race?
We kind of knew our race pace was better than our qualifying pace. Still probably not enough to go for a win because obviously starting before and given how good the race pace of the Red Bull is, it's almost impossible to think about a win. But I was hopeful of achieving a podium that in the end we managed to achieve, even if it was a very tough race, very strategic. The track condition changed a lot through the race. We went from a very sunny track that we hadn't had all weekend to a very cloudy track. The degradation went down a lot and you could push a lot more on the tires halfway through the race, and yeah, this changed the whole situation quite a lot. At one point I thought the podium wasn't possible, but then with the new heart the pace was mega and I could get back onto the podium.
Carlos, can we talk about the progress that Ferrari's made since we were last at Suzuka 6 months ago? Strategically, both cars very strong. You've halved the deficit to Red Bull over the race distance. Just how satisfying are those two facts?
Yeah, very satisfying. We exactly improved the car in the places that we wanted to improve it, and Suzuka proves it. Still, places like Suzuka, we are not as quick as the Red Bull, which is the target, but as soon as we bring a good upgrade to the car that goes in the right direction, hopefully gets us closer. But yeah, we've improved everywhere, and especially in the race pace. It also allows us to have more strategic flexibility that last year we didn't have. It allows me to go forward in the races, and instead of looking in my mirrors all the time, to offset myself with strategy and then overtake people, which is something that last year wasn't in the cards at any point. So happy, and makes me enjoy more racing.
Right, let's break it down. Jakesy, you were calling the race. How did Ferrari beat McLaren to the podium today, given that Lando started P3?
So McLaren, I think, feared Ferrari's pace from the very start of the weekend. They had to be proactive with strategy. Ferrari are just fundamentally quicker around this circuit, and it's as simple as that. And McLaren were fighting over here, fighting over there. I don't think really they could have done anything. I think the one that will sting a bit is the fact that Charles Leclerc was able to turn eighth into fourth by doing a strategy that very few people thought was possible today, with it being so warm, with the tyres degrading, the high loads of this circuit. So I think given at the start of the race, they'll be disappointed to be jumped by Leclerc, but I think they knew that they weren't going to be the McLaren that we saw here back in September.
Yeah, the key point was, in a way, when Charles went off the road and went back to Lando, and then they pitted on that very lap, both of them.
Yeah.
That was kind of the key point where they certainly lost that position too.
Ferrari have been incredibly impressive this year. It seems to me all of their big weaknesses from last year, they've improved. Strategically, they were on point here and have been all year. Their weakness last year, tyre deg. Charles Leclerc made a one-stop work. Look at what he did on the medium tyre today. It seems that they are flying. And I'm going to do a Murray Walker now and interrupt myself. And Andrea, your timing is perfect because we are in the throes of discussing this little battle between Ferrari and McLaren today.
Yes.
And we'd love the team principal of McLaren's verdict on how it panned out.
Well, today we looks like we lost this battle, but we are working hard so that we will be equipped in the near future to be more competitive. I would say Ferrari definitely, they are not far ahead. I think it will be definitely a battle of development this year, because these cars still offer quite a lot of performance through development. I would say this is the main objective for us. It's good to see that it's just a few tenths that they are better than us. In a track like this, where you have high degradation, easy overtaking to some extent, then it's difficult to keep faster cars behind, even if we have had a very strong qualifying. And this means that today, pretty much, the cars finished in the competitiveness order.
What were your expectations coming into the race, particularly with Lando starting third?
Our expectations were definitely that we could have finished on the podium. We did try to finish on the podium because we stopped early with Lando to make sure that we retained the track position. But ultimately, we didn't have enough pace to actually retain the track position, especially Carlos. He could stay out, gain some laps on his tires, and then he could go through Lando and overtake with no problems. So we were hoping for a podium. Ultimately, we discovered in the race that it wasn't possible, but like I say, it's not far. And hopefully soon we'll have some developments that will make this much more possible.
When are they coming?
Well, we should have a good round of developments in Miami. Even if it's a sprint event, we will definitely attempt to deploy them. So that's race 6. And then we should have at least one, if not two more rounds of development over this this season.
What did you make of Oscar's race today? He found himself seeing all the tricks of the trade that Fernando Alonso employs so well and has done throughout his entire Formula One career. When you saw him get up to DRS, you're like, okay, this is going to be a real learning experience for Oscar up against a driver who first raced here in 2001.
Yes, so from this point of view, certainly will have been instructive for Oscar in terms of defensive maneuvers. The real take for me about Oscar's race is that when we were here last time, which is just a few races ago, because the race was in autumn, Oscar actually struggled with tire degradation. His qualifying was strong, but his race pace wasn't as good. And I think today we acknowledge that his race pace was much stronger than just a few races ago, and this confirms the positive journey in terms of learning how to handle tires when they are so delicate. And in general, you know, like today, there were so many cars that we were actually racing, and he was in the game. So for us, this is very important. We don't have to forget that it's the second time he races in Suzuka. So very promising. I'm not adding anything to, you know, confirming how strong an asset Oscar is.
Andrea, you were closer to Red Bull in qualifying than you were when we were here 6 months ago, but you were further away from them in the race. Is that a general trend that we're going to see this year? Do you feel you've improved the one lap pace perhaps more than the race pace of the car?
Actually, I think I'm not able to answer this question because I wouldn't know exactly how to easily improve, let's say, the qualifying performance without improving the race performance. So I think you know, definitely you want to improve both in your development. I think what happens is that yesterday it was colder conditions, and we had a brand new Seftos C3 tires, and this means you have a lot of grip. And when we have a lot of grip, I think we can mitigate some of the weaknesses of our car. Like the corners are shorter, the hairpin is shorter, you have the tires that respond how you would like. But when you race in hot conditions, which means very low grip, medium tires, hard tires, high degradation, it's just completely different category in terms of the level of grip you have. And I think some of the inherent limitations we have at the moment with our car, they are just more exposed. So it's more the fact, I think, that qualifying masked some of our limitations because of the specific conditions and the high level of grip offered by the new C3 tires.
Certainly the sector one has been very, very powerful. A lot of direction changes, a lot of G-forces. That was McLaren all over the whole weekend, incredibly strong. Now you're going to China where you have a few hairpins, you have a long straight, but there are also some faster corners. And then with the upgrades coming in Miami, I think everything looks quite well to take the fight further on. It should be easier to negotiate the slower corners and finding some speed there and add that into the whole thing.
McLaren have now got double the points of Mercedes in the Constructors' Championship. Mercedes in P4, you in P3. What is your message to the team? Are you looking only forward, looking at Ferrari and Red Bull ahead, or are you still looking in the mirrors a bit? Are you still wary of Mercedes?
Well, in terms of having doubled the points, when the points are not very many, it's like, you know, we have a bit of an advantage, but it's 30-something points at this stage, which is good. You know, like the first part of the message we deliver internally is that it's an important result for us to consolidate McLaren as the third best team at this stage of the season, because it sort of confirms the trajectory that we started 12 months ago. And this shouldn't have been given for granted, let's say. So this is a first positive. Definitely we look ahead. Definitely we look at the fact that Ferrari is not far. Is definitely within the reach of our development capability. Therefore, we are fully determined to deliver enough performance on the car to go and attack Ferrari for the second place. Then if we deliver the same kind of developments that we delivered last race, then why not thinking about winning races this year? Like, you know, I don't want to look arrogant, but I think this is within the numbers, within the facts. And definitely this is the mindset that everyone has at McLaren. And we will, work hard to make this happen.
Andrea, that's a perfect place to end it. Thank you very much for your time. Good luck with everything that's coming. And we look forward to that first win. So what about Mercedes? It just felt they were on the back foot all afternoon today.
It keeps happening every single weekend. We have sessions and they're like, well, we're not too discouraged. And then the lights go out and they look nothing like... We're getting used to Mercedes being in this position now, which I think is the disappointing thing for them. That was a long, long afternoon. And you just heard it, the radio messages from George and Lewis. They got flatter and flatter and flatter. And it tells the story where they are right now.
I think the tale of woe starts before that. It seems as soon as they take the fuel out of the car,
yeah,
that's when it starts to go wrong.
Correlation is the word there between whatever they do. The car is a bit of a diva. It's on a knife edge, and they don't know what to expect when there's a wind direction change, when there's temperature changes. And then, of course, it sets them up of then suddenly they are on different compounds as well during the Grand Prix. And every now and then they are performing well and they are strong and they are good, but other times they are not. And of course that frustrates people, and the team is frustrated. There's a driver obviously leaving. I asked Toto, he was in Japan, I was expected not to be here. He's trying to lead the gang, he's coming here trying to show that we need to work harder, we need to stick together and we need to do a good job. But They are definitely frustrated and looking for hope, looking for answers, which they don't get. So yeah, a team in trouble at the moment. But I don't know when they will be winning again. I don't know when they will be on the podium again. It might be already in China, but they don't know, and we don't know.
I think it's so interesting that Andrea Stella thinks McLaren can win again. Do you feel that Mercedes are miles behind McLaren?
No, because I think once they get a comprehension of the car, once the correlation is sorted, once they understand the concept, look at how quickly McLaren were able to turn the page last season. So once you know the direction to go in, I think the situation is, and Toto Wolff was talking about it after the race, saying that we're effectively going testing. We're going testing. We're trying things out. We're experimenting. Until they understand it, they can't push in one direction. So in that way, they're miles off for the moment, but that's a world championship caliber team. They will understand what's wrong with the car, and once they do, I think they'll come roaring back towards the end of the year.
Do you know what? I do think George has been quite punchy this year, though. Let's look at the positives. And I think George Russell's performances this year have been great. And I don't know whether you guys were like me, but he came home P7 behind Alonso and P6. God, I wish he'd got up behind Alonso a little bit earlier.
I mean, fans of a narrative, come on down. I was like, oh, come on. I love Fernando's tactics at the end there. Just keeping Oscar within the DRS. But you were like, if he gets past, we get round two. Let's go. Yeah. Come on.
I found myself thinking, you know, Oscar on Thursday came out with a quote. How can you... Lots of discussion here in the Suzuka paddock about the rights and wrongs of what Alonso did to George Russell last time out in Albert Park. And Piastri's comment was, how can you penalise someone for creating dirty air?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But you had a bit of it today, Oscar.
Yeah, thrown into the mixer. And what did Andrea say? Instructive. An afternoon with Fernando Alonso and all the tricks in the book.
Well, look, we're talking about Fernando, so let's bring it on to Aston Martin. Now, a solid P6 for Fernando Alonso. He qualified P5. All the upgrades on the car this weekend seem positive.
Yeah, it seems positive, and Mike Craig and the team are very positive about it. And I would say Fernando didn't like the red flag in the beginning. He was on a soft tire, which he then kept going on because they didn't have so many options for his tire strategy. So I would like to have seen that soft tire go for the first couple of laps at the first real start.
They're celebrating with Yuki Tsunoda, who's in the points at his home race for the first time. One lap down, so he completes the tour, and it's a point at his home race being warmly applauded and cheered around the perimeter. Tsunoda delivers for his home fans.
Relieved, you know, after I lost a couple of positions in the first start, I feel a little bit of a disappointment for sure, but at the same time, had a good start after that, and I think one of the big highlights was the pit stop. Our team did a fantastic job, mechanics, that's very fast pit stop, and it overtook two cars, you know, that's insane. So, without that, you know, I would probably would be a lot more difficult to score points today. So big credit to the team, and obviously able to score in the points in front of Japanese fans finally. Feeling confidence, you know. I knew that straight line speed is not that competitive compared to other cars, and I knew other cars had a better straight line speed. But at the same time, we know that we had a lot of downforce, and the only chance we have is, you know, S's that we normally affected by downforce. So I tried my best, and I did a couple of good overtakes, and yeah, I definitely enjoyed that.
Some majestic overtaking on his way to P10. Yuki was the man.
It was absolutely fantastic. I mean, any move in the S's is special stuff, but that was a driver in his fourth year of Formula One, confident. He's got, to borrow a phrase from cricket, the wood over his teammate at the moment. His teammate's an 8-time Grand Prix winner. Okay, it's not a slow guy that he's putting in the shade in qualifying. And just confidence, oozing confidence, and loving being part. There are three massive pictures of him on the main grandstand on the way in. And I was like, this is a guy who won races here in Formula 4, goes over to Europe, has a season in Formula 3, gets promoted. Formula 2, season there, wins races, does well, thrown into Formula 1. There were high expectations when he came in, and he fell short of them. Stuck around, has dug deep, now he's getting the reward, and there were wonderful scenes at the end of the race, and everyone's waving the flags and standing up. Glorious.
He is a great shining light to Formula One. He's absolutely funny, but to see him go well here and getting what any driver needs, a bit of pat on the shoulder, a lot of motivation, really impressive. And as I said, the kerkbank, the anti-bank, the right corner at the end of the S's, passing on the outside there. That's local knowledge.
We're now joined by an RB man himself, Liam Lawson. Look, we're just in the throes of discussing Yuki Tsunoda, and we all feel he's taken a step forward over the winter. Is that the mood inside the team? Is that the feeling inside RB?
I think he's never been slow. He's always been very, very fast. So it's more of a, I think, consistency thing that he's maybe on form this year, and very, very consistent, not really making many mistakes. So yeah, he's doing a very good job.
What about your position in the team? There's so many rumours going around this paddock, Liam.
It's unfortunately just rumours at the moment, so honestly, to tell you the truth, I have absolutely no idea.
All right, look, thank you for dropping by.
No,
good
no worries.
Stuff. All right, mate, take it easy.
Thanks,
thank
guys.
You. Thanks. A massive point for RB as well from Yuki. That 10th place, it's going to be so close, isn't it?
That is going to make a big difference at the end of the year, because we're basically seeing the big five teams, they're a long way clear. You need something to go wrong, and when that chance converts itself, if you don't convert your opportunities this year, it's going to be painful by the time you get to Abu Dhabi. So huge, huge results go back to back as well. 7th in Australia and then 10th here today.
Okay, so Yuki's flying TK, Daniel Ricciardo. What has that guy got to do to get a break?
Daniel, coming here after, after Melbourne, after a really, really tough start of the season for Daniel Ricciardo. Coming to Suzuka, it was showing some promise. He was sitting out in the first practice to Iwasa. Then the second practice was rained off. So for sure, he would probably be thinking that it's going to be another struggle again during this weekend. He did pretty well. He was close to Yuki Tsunoda in qualifying, incredibly close, but that was exactly the cutoff between being in top 10 or being starting at 11th. The strategy on tires meant that they were vulnerable, and they were vulnerable, as then the whole field on the first lap after turn two, they lost momentum, and an opportunistic maneuver from Alex Albon, he went for the gap on the outside, but before he could think it was the right move or not, they were both in the wall. Danny couldn't do anything, Ricciardo had nowhere to go, and And again, yeah, an unsold weekend and a chance to bounce back, which certainly didn't help him, but maybe helped the local hero Sonoda, because he was the sole warrior in the team today and did incredibly well to deserve driver of the day.
Daniel is driving at the Pirelli test here on Tuesday, and I think it's arrived at a very important time for him. He didn't get a race distance today, did he? But you touched on him being close to Yuki Tsunoda in qualifying, which he was, but is being close to Yuki Tsunoda enough for him to keep that drive?
Probably not. Probably not in the means of the people within, let's say, the team, within the Red Bull group, who have given him this chance, where they expect more of him. We all expect more of Danny Ricciardo. When we are used to see the late braking, the overtaking, the strong performances, we just can't wait to see them. But they haven't been here yet, and of course this sort of sits into you. And I don't really even want to mention that we saw him struggle at McLaren, and hopefully it's not what we are seeing or witnessing.
Well, of course, his race came to an end when he clashed with Alex Albon on the opening lap at those fearsome S's. I mean, another weekend to forget for poor Team Williams.
I mean, it almost getting ridiculous, isn't it? When you were like, you got to the first shot and you see there's a Williams in the barrier and you're like, there's not a lot of runoff there. That is going to be massive. Car fat with fuel at the start of the race as well. They're going to try and fix it again, but they do believe that there's serious damage to that car. So you have the possibility that they're going to have a one-car entry again in China. And it might not even be a possibility, and they might be able to sort it out and repair things. But the fact that that could happen again, what a tough run they are currently on.
And the third car is not due until Miami, although they might have taken some comfort this weekend when Alpine admitted that they don't have a third car yet. So it's not predicament solely of Williams. But what does it say, Jake C., about where Williams are at? I felt last year we saw them make massive progress, seventh in the Constructors' Championship. With the help of James Vowell's leadership, it seemed their ducks were more in a row than they'd been certainly for a few years. It's a big setback.
Well, you can carry on flirting with the lower reaches of the points and keep doing that and keep doing that and keep doing that. Or you can do what they're having to do, the reason they're going through this pain, which is a complete fundamental overhaul of how they produce the car, their workflows, their processes. If they don't do that, they're going to be stuck competing for the lower end of the points forever, which you can't do. So if they don't overhaul, they're not going to take a step forward. So pain now, and in the future, hopefully it bears fruit.
They had their work cut out this weekend when Logan Sargeant crashed during FP1.
Yeah.
Extensive. Do you think there is a link between him going off and him being benched last time out? Him feeling he had to prove himself and pushing too hard too soon?
I don't think consciously, but this is the pinnacle of motor racing. The drivers spend a very long time in their lives working to get here. And it feels like for Logan, he is constantly on the brink of having to prove himself and reprove himself and reprove himself. And he had that wonderful result at the end of last year in Las Vegas in qualifying. And I was like, and if that race had turned out differently, I think they could have easily been in the points, and I think it would have been just such a boost for him. But of course you're going to have a reaction to being benched. Apply it to anything in life. No one wants to be taken out of the role that they're there to do and they've spent decades working towards. Of course there's going to be a reaction, whether it's conscious or not. It was a strange one to go off. That was one set of the new specification in the bin. Today, at the S's at the start, that's the other set of the new specification in the bin. I mean, they're shredding parts at the moment. The chassis has, it's not a bodge, but they've repaired it, and they've repaired it really effectively. But go through the pain now, change the workflow, change the processes, get some talent to go. Williams are not just going to turn up here to try and score 10th or 9th or have Alex Albon do an alternative strategy and go for a rear guard. Go through the pain now, turn the page, have a modern Formula One team that can attract young talent, and James Vowles will have done an amazing job. It's a bad day today, but going forward. It's laying the foundation for a return to form.
It's funny, isn't it, in this sport, how momentum builds when things are going well. Equally, when you're having a shocker, it just spirals, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And look at what Williams are going through. Look what Daniel Ricciardo is going through. When it's going bad, it's very difficult to get out of that rut, isn't it?
It is incredibly difficult to get out of the rut. And I feel that in the paddock, in the last couple of years, narratives are forming so quickly that it's up and down. Yesterday, after qualifying, people were like, "Well, Charles Leclerc, what's going on with Charles Leclerc? He's on the front row for the first two races of the year." And then complete confusion. Hold on, but have they... And people suddenly saying, and I don't agree with this, like, have they backed the wrong horse? And you're like, well, everyone just calm down, right? It's a long season. It's the longest ever season. And things are going to ebb and flow all the way through. But when it's tough in Formula One, there's nowhere to hide. And that's what we love about it. That's why it matters. Sport... without that competitive edge, with someone being up and someone being down, isn't sport. So it's been painful for Williams, but they'll get through it. They'll come back stronger.
Look, and what other talking points, Jake C, do you have? You know, with Albon out of the race, with Ricciardo out of the race, with Joe retiring relatively early, did you expect to see, I don't know, let's Valtteri Bottas. He had a good quali. The new floor and the new front wing on that car seemed to be working really well. Did you expect a little bit more from him? Where did he come home? He came home 14th in the end.
Yeah, their pit stops were upgraded, but still not as rapid as they would hope. And it led to Bottas coming in with a great big melee. And one of my favourite things as a commentator is when I get to commentate on what's happening out the window, right? Old school, Murray Walker style. And I just heard so much noise. I thought, what's going on? Looked up beyond the monitors and saw five cars in at once. At which point, that's the making of Yuki's race. He gets the jump. Bottas gets balked, gets stuck behind the Haas, and the chance is gone. And we talked earlier on about converting your chances. That's a chance lost for Sauber. They've still got the problems with the pit stops. Valtteri's always been rapid around here. He's won around here in the past. That's a glimmer of a chance disappearing there.
As was the case in Melbourne, when he might have finished in the points had it not been for the botched pit stop. Look, what about Alpine? Upgrades on the car this weekend. Funny, it was here last year that Ocon and Gasly had a bit of a falling out over team orders, and then we saw them touching at the start.
They don't have a spare chassis either.
Yeah.
That could have been enormous. At the start of the race, that's the fine margin, isn't it? Slight brush, Daniel Ricciardo to Alex Albon.
It tells you quite a lot about racing driver mentality.
Yeah.
They know they don't have a spare chassis, yet there is still no compromise.
Still banging wheels in the opening meters of the Grand Prix. So that could have been massive for them. That was as tough as it gets for a proud team with a long history, known by loads of different names. But Team Enstone has been a championship-winning team. They've got lots of trophies in the cabinet. They've got a long history. And that was about as tough as it gets. Two race winners trundling round, and that radio message that we heard where, all right, time to push, Esteban. And he said, I am pushing. And didn't that just sum it all up? Yeah. They're having the toughest time by far because they've had the biggest fall from grace from last year to this.
Yeah, and I feel it's going to be difficult for them to not get the wooden spoon. I feel they're that far away still. Even in 20 races time at the end of the year. So the top 10 looked like this. Max Verstappen won at Suzuka for the third successive race. Checo Perez was second for the third time this year. And Carlos Sainz completed the podium. Charles Leclerc one-stopped his way from 8th on the grid to 4th at the flag, ahead of Lando Norris in 5th and Fernando Alonso in 6th. George Russell was the first Mercedes home in 7th place, ahead of Oscar Piastri 8th, Lewis Hamilton 9th, and local hero Yuki Tsunoda 10th. In the Drivers' Championship, here's the top 10. Max Verstappen extends his lead at the top to 13 points ahead of his teammate Sergio Perez. Charles Leclerc is 3rd, 4 points ahead of teammate Carlos Sainz. Lando Norris is 5th, 5 points ahead of his McLaren teammate Oscar Piastri. George Russell and Fernando Alonso are tied on 24 points. Lewis Hamilton is 9th and Lance Stroll is 10th. In the Constructors' Championship, Red Bull have 141 points, 21 points ahead of Ferrari in second place. McLaren are third, 35 points ahead of Mercedes, who are just 1 point ahead of fifth-placed Aston Martin. RB are sixth on 7 points, Haas are seventh on four, and Williams, Sauber and Alpine have yet to score. Well, guys, thank you both very much for coming on the show. It's that time when we have to pick our driver of the day. TK, who's your man?
I will mention the local here as a driver of the day because of his move, because of the whole atmosphere here. When he did the moves he did, when he qualified yesterday, actually the whole weekend, he lifted so much spirit in the Japanese people here. And the moves he did at Antibank or Kirkbank, turn six on the outside of Pierre Gasly and then later Nico Hülkenberg in the race, obviously on different tires, but nevertheless, it's a move which many people don't go for. And he showed the way and and scoring a point for sort of what we used to say best of the rest, but RB are probably today, you can see it, best of the rest, because the other teams were performing well. 1 point in 10th position, local hero Yuki Tsunoda. I'm happy to vote for him.
And Jakesy, what about you?
Well, it's hard to look past Yuki Tsunoda and the scenes that he caused at the end of the race there and the satisfaction that he would have got through it, so that would have probably gone for him. But in the interest of this podcast, I'll go for Fernando Alonso. One session with an upgraded Aston Martin, and the reason I'm going for him is we had a real race of variation today, and he went through the 130R, I was looking at the time gap and I was like, oh, 1.2 seconds, Oscar's in trouble here, he's not going to keep George behind. And then I was like, oh no, it's under a sec. He's doing it, he's keeping him in DRS. The tactics, the understanding, the racecraft, I'm telling you, when he's no longer about, will miss it hugely, because he has so many ways that he can manufacture a result in Formula One.
Oh, it must be the end of the show.
Well, that's the end of that then.
Jake, see, I don't think there's another driver on the grid whose armoury is as extensive as Alonso, even Max Verstappen, even Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah. And obviously, Max Verstappen was in a league of his own today. It's wonderful to see Checo turn the page. I think there were a lot of good drives today. I think a lot of people had claimed to be driver of the day, but ultimately, it's Yuki's day. He came, he delivered. First time. You think of some home crowds, like Silverstone home crowd. You bought a ticket, you saw Lewis on the podium guaranteed for about a decade. They've waited over a decade to see one of their own in the points at the sharp end. And not only that, with classy overtake after overtake, that was great. That'll be my memory of this Grand Prix in years to come.
Good point, well made. I'm just going to throw another name into the mix, and I'm going to say Charles Leclerc, because I think he was very down after qualifying yesterday. He said the car felt great, but he still couldn't get a lap time out of it, and yet he made those medium tyres last forever today. He bounced back, he was really impressive. So I'm going to say Charles Leclerc. All right, Jake, see, well, look, travel safe. Wonderful to have you on the show. TK, thank you very much for your time. And thank you at home for listening. This show is nothing without you. And as ever, please, if you've got any questions for me or any of the gang, please send us an email at f1nation@f1.com. Quick little promo. This week's F1 Beyond the Grid is with Colombian F1 hero Juan Pablo Montoya. And he's just as unfiltered as he was during his career. So make sure you listen to that from Wednesday. And of course, we'll be back next Monday with our preview of the Chinese Grand Prix. F1 Nation is produced by Formula One and Audioboom Studios.